things we're dealing with are threats to humanity unlike anything the world has ever seen before.
We can bequeath our children a greener planet and a more prosperous future.
That's what climate change is about. It is literally, not figuratively, a clear and present danger.
If unprecedented changes are not made, and made soon, there will be irreversible damage to the planet.
Zero Carbon
Eastall.
Hello and welcome to Zero Carbonista Series 5, Just Stop the Tories, the UK's number one environment-based podcast. If it's green, it is in. I tell you what wasn't in, Dale. There wasn't a lot of green stuff going on in the budget. I know that halfway through the budget, I realised, it's never happened before, I realised I'd actually gnawed off one of my own elbows. It's an extraordinary moment, still a bit painful. But I didn't see any green initiatives in there.
Well, the whole budget and the whole written version of the budget didn't contain the C word, right?
It did from where I was sitting.
Yeah. Now, that was your commentary. Climate. There was no mention of the climate in the budget entirely.
Nothing at all.
There were 10 mentions of net zero, but 7 of those were about the Department of Energy and net zero. It was self-referential. So, I mean, it was an absolutely un-green budget. It wasn't anti-green. There weren't stuff announced in there that goes the wrong way per se, except these days, not going the right way is going the wrong way. I mean, it was a flop, a total kind of disappointment, although I wasn't expecting better, but I was just going to call it a disappointment anyway, that we didn't have something, just something.
Well, you might have thought that, you know, usually in budgets, what they try to do is play to every bloody gallery. So even on the, to be cynical about it, they might have gone, oh, right, we better just tick a little box over here and say we're going to build 17,000 windmills in Nadine Dorris's back garden or something. I mean, that would have at least been, you know, a taster of something environmental based. But there was literally jack shit.
Nothing to like at all. And the idea of, you know, 2p off national insurance, they're claiming to have, you know, lowered taxes. But very next day, all the analysis comes out and says, actually, taxes in our country have never been higher since 1948, including the day before the budget. So taxes haven't gone down. The net effect of this budget was actually to put them up. Because I proposed an alternative budget. You probably saw it.
Yep.
Not a whole budget, just 5 things that could have been done on the green economy. And the combined economic benefit of these things was just crazy. £10 billion a year. It gets more crazy, though, because it won't cost us a penny to get them. It's free. 5 simple changes, £10 billion a year taken off the nation's energy bills. I mean, that's for me, that's what the green economy and is all about. And I think I said in my social media work that, you know, the total cost is net zero. And that's my idea of net zero, actually, that we do these things and we save money. It doesn't cost us money. That's conservative propaganda.
Which brings us on to this. Because much of what you talk about anyway is, of course, in the new manifesto book, which came out yesterday. The new one came out yesterday, which was timely because it was World Book Day. It's like, was that a coincidence or did somebody think about this stuff? Did your handlers go, here, Dale, here's a good idea, right? I'll get a pay rise for this one, Dale, won't I?
And the day after the budget as well.
Day after the budget, World Book Day. Wow. I like it. Good timing. But it's important we mention this because, I mean, the manifesto is there. It's solid, your belief system, your template, some common sense stuff. But every now and again, you want to add to that, and hence the new book.
The update, that's right. I think it was Monday, actually. I said, oh, guys, there's a budget this week. This is how well organized we are. I'm like, guys, there's a budget this week. We should put out some ideas, right?
And so it sounds like an episode. Do you remember that TV show, The Monkeys, where they all lived in one house? It's like, hey, guys, I've got an idea.
That's how it is. I mean, that's how it is over here.
Somebody slides down the pole and says, yeah, it's budget day. Let's do it.
And I thought to myself, I know a book that's got a bunch of policy ideas in. It's obviously Manifesto. And we pulled 5 things out of Manifesto, all off the top of the head, costing them up in like today's terms. We got the energy team here to do that. So, I mean, there's precision numbers. But anyway, that's what happened over here Monday. We're like, let's do something for the budget, pull some ideas out of Manifesto, refresh the numbers to make them, up to date. And bish bosh, £10 billion a year for no cost, simple changes. If the Tories wanted to do anything to tackle the cost of living crisis, let alone the climate crisis, these are the kinds of things they could have done.
More disturbingly, somebody knows that. That's the bit that somebody knows it and went, nah.
Yeah, nah. Nah. That's not who we are.
Hey, look, here's a load of good ideas. What should we do? Nah.
I think they're in the country mode, actually. They're a bit like, everybody hates us, right? We're polling historical lows, and we're just going to like hang on for as long as possible, do as much damage as possible. And then
it would have come up, the Treasury meeting in their ornate, beautifully oak-paneled office. Somebody said, hey, Sebastian, have you by chance read the new manifesto from Dale Vince? I did read it. What do you think? Well, it'll save a lot of money. What do we do?
Yeah. Nah. That's funny, actually, because Chris Packham is sending a copy of my book to every MP and every, what are they called, Lords, every member of the House of Lords.
Good.
So that they read the thing and that kind of stuff.
Apparently 38% can read as well. So, I mean, there's a start.
Rumor is Rishi Sunak's not happy. And it's because he's not appreciated. He thinks he's doing lots of good things and nobody appreciates him or even probably likes him.
You know? Yeah, this is like a Simon Bates R-Tune moment.
I got a letter here from Rishi, who's very sad at the moment. Very sad over his budget.
And he wants to quit. He wants to leave in May, but the party want him to hang on until October. So there's a bit of, this is what I hear.
I think you're right. Rishi is just heading.
Poor Rishi, right? Poor Rishi.
State bound with booster rockets, I think, because that's where the money is, because he's short of a few quid, isn't he? So.
And I look at him and I think he's a guy that's never done anything challenging, right? Rumor has it, he's somebody that's never failed in his life, but this is a monumental fucking failure. And he's not happy about it. And he probably wants to fuck off to America and live his life, which is what his plan was before number 10 anyway. And he's stuck. He's stuck in this trap because party want him to hang on. He wants to go. I love that.
Let's talk about bees. Should we talk about, I think bees are really important. And there was a bee-based story, of course. I know you've had runnings with Piers Morgan over, but if somebody had said to you 10 years ago, you'll have a row with Piers Morgan about bees, you'd have gone, I don't even understand that sentence. But it came to pass. And now we hear that Labour are going to end UK exemptions for bee-killing pesticides, which are outlawed by the EU.
This is a great story for so many different reasons. I mean, apart from the fact that it's going to happen and we'll end the use of these terribly toxic things. This is another one of those broken Brexit promises. We were told, right, one of the things we were told is that when we leave the EU, we can improve our standards. We can have better standards than them Europeans, because that's what we want, obviously. And it didn't happen. And in fact, of course, it went the other way. Like everything else, like immigration didn't go down. It doubled, for example. And so, you know, the Tories have allowed the continued use of this toxic chemical. By the way, one teaspoon of it is enough to kill 1.25 billion bees. One teaspoonful. Jeez. That's how toxic this stuff is, right? Labour are going to do away with it. That's a great story. The link to Piers Morgan, I spoke to him some months ago now on his show, and he pulled this stunt like he tries to with all vegans and stuff like that about avocados and how the people that farm avocados kill, I think he said billions of bees actually, and we had an argument about how ridiculous it was that he said that they were murdering bees and stuff. But anyway, all throughout he kept saying, I'm for the little guys. So when this story broke and we put it out on social media, I just messaged him, said, Piers, you know, what do you think about this? Because you're for the little guys, right? No answer yet. Deadly silence. But, you know, I hope he engages, because I believe him. That's a silly thing to say. I suddenly thought, just before it came out of my mouth, I thought, I believe him. He does care about the little guys. And then I said, no, don't be stupid. That's just something he said.
There was a big reverse ferret going on there, wasn't there? It's like, yeah, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. What the hell am I talking about?
Yeah, what are you saying?
You never know. He might come good on the bees. Let's see.
But Labour will. That's the best part of the story.
Well, you'd think it's a no-brainer, right? I mean, this toxic shit is so horrendous. You'd think, well, nobody would put there. Somebody put a signature on that bit of paper. Went, yeah, it's fine.
And it finds its way into the food chain. You know, we're surrounded by forever chemicals. You know, that's what they're known as, because they just don't go away. And, you know, we're pumping them into the world, into the environment, and, you know, they're turning up in our bodies, big surprise. This is just another one.
There is actually a bit of a food-based, diet-based theme here for the sort of remaining section here, because Will says diets have been a big talking point in the House of Lords lately. So what do you think politics could do better to regulate ultra-processed food? I mean, you want to talk shit, then ultra-processed food. I mean, that's where it's frankly a crime scene. I'm surprised each packet doesn't come with a little police tape around it.
It should come with a sticker that says, "This food is so shit, you don't need to eat it. It's already shit. Yeah, yeah, just put it in the bin.
This food is the only food that starts as it ends up."
That's right.
And looks like it.
Yeah. So I had no idea the Lords have been talking about diets. I had no idea. So I'm not connected to this story. But to better regulate ultra-processed foods, just ban them.
Yeah.
Right, just take the chemical list out of the ingredient list, you know, the chemistry set list. And I mean, it's not just ultra-processed foods, but processed foods as well. And it's in my book, right? There are three things that dominate the food industry: salt, sugar, and fat. And they are pumping their products full of them. They're pumping us full of them. That's driving human health problems, you know, diabetes, cancer, heart disease, that kind of stuff. It's all off the charts compared to what it was, I know, 50, 60 years ago. We have to get control of big food because they're killing us.
And talking of food, Tesco have been kept happy, apparently, by the wildlife charity WWF UK, who, we are told, shelved a report that warned how intensive chicken production is devastating the River Wye. They had the report, they shelved the report, and the allegation is this is to keep a big supermarket happy.
I mean, it's a shocking story. I read it and it began with the fact they've got this report. It shows that the River Wye is impacted by chicken farming on the river. I mean, we all know this. It's been in the news lots of times. These chicken farms are just dumping chicken poo into the river and it's destroying the environment there. WWF had a report that kind of, you know, confirmed that, and they shelved it. And then, yes, the allegation is Tesco gave them £6 million in donations. Tesco are connected to the chicken farms on the River Wye. That's where they get some of their chickens from. And it looks a bit of a slam dunk in terms of cause and effect, right?
Yeah, it doesn't look good. Final question from Liam. Does AI excite you or scare you, Dale? And how can it be used to tackle climate change? Good question.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the whole, I'm going to say I'm not quite excited by it. That would be weird, I think. But I like it. I think it's got great potential. I mean, it's already in use. You can see it's doing good things. It's already in use in the NHS for looking at scans and identifying potential tumors and stuff like that, you know, very effectively, for example. So I think it's got a lot of great potential for us, actually. And it's just an extension of computer science, right, which came around in our hands as a public in the 90s, let's say, with PCs and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not a technophobe. And all of these scare stories about AI, I mean,
there's a lot out there. I mean, people are worried that we're going to have these kind of cyborg things that, you know, would eventually mean that the government are a bunch of robots with no personality and nothing good to say. But then I thought, well, we've kind of already got that. So it's actually happened. Maybe the cabinet are AI generated. Rishi is not actually real.
AI is out of the box already. I like that. All of the fears of AI are based on the Terminator film, where the stupid humans in that film, right, give control to the world's weapons, give control of that to robots who suddenly decide that humans are vermin and they're damaging the planet. Well, that's not a big logical leap, right? We all know that. And so decide to kill us all. So as long as we don't give AI control of all of our weapons, I think we'd be okay, guys.
I think so. Dale, that is it for this episode, but we will speak in 7 days.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. Don't forget to follow this podcast so that you get each episode automatically. Do leave a review there as well. Follow Dale on social media, twitter.com/DaleVince, facebook.com/DaleVince, and of course on TikTok.
Two. Ah, damn, I'm out of time.
Zero Carbon. East off.